Hi, this is Angela Middleton, and welcome to my podcast called I Want to BA. The reason for this podcast is that there is a huge lack of careers advice in the UK, and I'm always asked by young people, by parents and by teachers, my views on improving careers advice, and particularly by parents, what should they say to their youngster who's leaving school. I think it is a wider subject. It's not just about what job do you want to do, but it is actually about how you want your life to be. And within that, what type of career you want to select. And that career can just be the first stepping stone. Nowadays, individuals have a whole portfolio of careers. The people that I've interviewed, even at the age of 30, have had four or five careers. Myself, I've had at least five different types of careers. So this podcast is about, firstly, talking about careers in general and careers advice, but secondly, bringing in individuals who have experienced careers in particular industries, hence the subject I Want to BA, and they can come and talk about the path that they took to actually get to where they are, and also talk about what it's like to actually do that job and have that career. So we'll be covering every type of career that we can think of in the UK, and it will be everything from architects to zoologists. So I'll look forward to comments, and we'll build things up as we go along, and hopefully it should be of great use to parents, to teachers and to young people. So today we have Jane Knight with us. Jane is an entrepreneur and she has had a fascinating journey. She left school at 16 with, in her words, a handful of GCSEs. She was particularly social and sporty and always had an interest in self-development and personal growth and was particularly goal-driven. She says herself that, you know, she was money-orientated and she wanted to buy a car, and that drove her to leave school at 16 and to go straight into her first job. She did an apprenticeship in business and finance and did her apprenticeship level 2 and level 3 for a training provider. After that, she moved to a government agency who was responsible for paying training providers, and Jane continued her learning there, doing a level 4 in MVQ contract management, and actually stayed there for a period of 8 years before being made redundant, which she saw to be a very positive move because it then encouraged her to take her next step in her journey, and she went to work for a college. At that college, again, she stayed there for 8 years. She did a management qualification at level 5, where she was a contract manager, and she then also became a teacher where she trained for her certificate in education. I'll let her explain to you how that change came about. Having done that, Jane left and had some children, and then she started her own very successful business, which she's now been running for 3 years. Jane, thanks so much for joining us today. I'd like to start by hearing from you a summary of what's happened in your career from when you left school up until this point.
So, Angela, I went to school in Kent. I really enjoyed school. I had lots of friends and I got on well with lots of the teachers. I really enjoyed the sports side of school and being involved in sort of competitions. Mm. I really enjoyed my running, which actually on reflection is something I do a lot of now.
Yeah.
I left school with a handful of GCSEs, grades A to C.
Yeah.
I loved the social side, so I think I always was drawn towards sort of personal development and people and being around people.
Did you know what you wanted to do when you left school?
I think I always knew I wanted to do something to do with business and training. Lots of my friends were thinking about going off to university, and there was nothing really at university that I thought I wanted to study towards specifically. Mm. But I was drawn to going to work, earning money to buy a car. That was my goal, really. On reflection, I think that, you know, that's what I wanted. I had a goal in mind. It was to have my lessons, driving lessons, and to actually have a car.
Yep. And how did you know about the career of training, as it were? Because it's not something necessarily that people would immediately think about.
I used to read quite a lot of magazines, and I think there was an element of self-development, even back then, around how you can sort of learn more. So I think I had that in my head, and my parents had a very good and do still have a good work ethic. So I knew that I wanted to get into work, earn money, contribute, and buy that car that I dreamed of. Mm.
And before you actually went into permanent employment, did you have any work experience at all?
Yes. The we did have a work experience lady at our school. And it's funny, I can remember my parents saying to me, make sure you get work experience in a bank. Mm-hmm. And I can remember at the time thinking, that just doesn't appeal to me. Mm. And Asda had launched a new clothes range, and I just loved the clothes in Asda. So I opted to do my work experience there, much to my parents' horror. But it was fantastic, and I learned so much. I was in the office, I was on the shop floor, I met lots of people, and I think that was more valuable than if I'd worked in a bank crunching numbers, which just wasn't my thing.
And you did a variety of things when you were in Asda, although it was work experience. They had you the shop floor, they had you in the office. What was that like?
I enjoyed it. It exposed me to how an office environment works, but also how a business works, that there was different teams doing different tasks.
So you had that sort of work experience under your belt, and then you decided to leave school and to get your first job. Tell us about that first job.
Okay, so I looked in the paper, and I was very lucky that I found a vacancy. It was for a business administrator in Kent, quite local to me. And I was very fortunate that I went along for an interview. I managed to get an interview, and I prepared for the interview. I can remember polishing my shoes. My dad would always say to me, polish your shoes. It's the first thing that people look at. And at the time, I just thought, well, that's a bit bizarre. And it's true. I mean, I look at everybody's shoes now. So if you are listening to this, look down at your shoes. I hope they are clean and polished. I wore a smart outfit, and in fact, I was a little bit nervous, but I think I turned that nerves that I had at the time into energy and thinking, well, I do actually care about this. I want to get this job. And something my mum had told me a long time ago was, everybody's human. Everybody gets up in the morning and brushes their teeth. And when the guy was interviewing me, a guy called John Gale, he's quite friendly, but I could just picture him brushing his teeth, and I thought, he's normal, he's human, and it made me feel more relaxed. So I was myself, and fortunately I went on to be successful and I got the job.
Was it a straightforward job? I think you mentioned it was an apprenticeship.
That's right. So I was very lucky that the job was a business administrative role, but it also had an apprenticeship with it. So it's an apprenticeship role in business admin. And that meant that I could earn money to buy this car that I've been talking about, but also learn as well. So a lot of my friends had gone off to uni because they, you know, had a clear goal, what they wanted to do. They were set on becoming a doctor or a vet or something specific. However, for me, I still wanted the training route, but I wanted to earn the money. So doing the apprenticeship, I was able to work towards my level 2 and then my level 3 qualification.
And so you were there for about 3 years, and then you moved to the next position.
Yes. So after completing successfully my level 2 and level 3 qualification under the apprenticeship programme, I then felt it was time that I wanted to move on. I just had itchy feet. I wanted to do something new. And I didn't leave my job, because I think it makes sense to stay in a job until you find something else. And I looked at some recruitment agencies, and there was a role local to me again, working for a government agency.
And of course, your CV would have been a lot stronger at this point, because you would have had 3 years experience. You then had the level 2 and the level 3 apprenticeship. So I imagine the recruitment agency was able to place you much more easily than if you'd have not had that.
Absolutely. My CV was just building. I just felt every year, in fact, probably every quarter, I was able to add to my CV. And one thing that I did at the time, which I think was very sensible of me, is I kept my CV up to date.
What was the next role? How long were you there, first of all?
So I then joined a government agency. I was there for 8 years, and the agency paid lots of training providers and colleges for apprenticeships to be able to run those types of training programmes for young people.
Yeah. And what was your role?
My role was making sure the payments were correct, to make sure the quality of the training was how it should be, and also to make sure that young people understood the many different career opportunities out there.
And you were doing training as well during that role?
I did some training. I was actually training new staff that were coming into the organisation. So next, I did get promoted, and I took that opportunity. I was very fortunate that I had a mentor at the time who was supporting me. And in fact, that's one thing I would ask that every young person, once you get to 18, do have a mentor to help you and guide you. It's something that's really helped me. So at the time when I managed a team of eight people, I was working towards my level four MVQ contract management. Mm-hmm. It was part of my ongoing lifelong learning.
Great. And that led really nicely on from your level two and your level three. So you were sort of progressing as well as gaining all this experience as well.
That's right. Mm. So I would encourage anybody to continue your learning because I was learning more. That's why I'd been promoted and I was earning money. Mm. And it just made sense.
Yeah.
So I worked at the government agency for about 8 years and I learned a lot there. I'd always been updating my CV and then I was made redundant. But I took this as a really positive sign. I'd been there quite a long time and I felt I needed this gentle push to take me to my next career opportunity. Yep. So it's one door closing and another door opening. Mm-hmm. So one door closed, another door opened, and that door opened to a college. I started working for a college and I was doing contract management there. So I was actually submitting the claims to the government agency that I'd worked with before. So the boot was on the other foot. Yeah. I had built up so many skills that were on my CV and I could actually evidence that I was able to use at the college. So it was all really paying off at this point. Mm. And this is when I suppose I discovered my love for training and teaching, and it stemmed from the training I had done, the opportunity I had at my previous role with the staff training. So it was all just coming together. And sometimes I don't think you really need to have a set plan. It can just all fall in place. Mm. So I started working towards my management qualification, which was an MVQ level 5. I really enjoyed this qualification. I learnt more and I felt it was giving me the confidence to develop the role myself rather than being told what to do. I think that's really important to talk to your manager about ideas that you might have, because remember, your idea might just be the spark that then creates a fantastic idea that can change departments and change teams and businesses as well. Mm-hmm. The teaching, I then went on to train to become a teacher.
And that's quite a different role to contract management. And how did that happen?
So that happened through my contract manager role. I was working with lots of teachers and I was having to go in and sit into the class and talk to them while they were teaching. I could see what they were doing and it really resonated with me. I really liked what they were doing. And I think I stopped and asked myself, I'd love to do that. What is stopping me? And in fact, the only thing that was stopping me was myself. So at that point, I think that was the light bulb moment that made me think, I'm going to train to become a teacher. And I've never looked back. It was the best thing I've done.
And so at the end of 8 years, you left the college.
That's correct. I left the college for a really difficult job, actually, the job as being a mum. So at that point, I went on to start my family. And it was interesting. People said, oh, you're going to have a year off. You know, it's enjoy the time. And I did enjoy the time, but I certainly didn't have a year off. Being a parent is one of the most difficult jobs ever. And even though you're not paid for that, you are still learning lots of skills. I've got two children now as I speak on this podcast. So my negotiation skills are so much better. My conflict management skills, my timekeeping, getting two children to school in the morning, my timekeeping and organisation skills are very, very good. And in fact, they are now on my CV.
And this is a really, in all seriousness, this is another great example of how you can change your perspective on something. Some people would look at that year out as a year out. You can't work. Or you're not working and you're focusing on your children. What you've done is to say, well, I'm going to do all of those things, but what can I learn from this? And what transferable skills am I going to build as a result of this? And you've done that very effectively, because that ultimately led on to your current business, didn't it?
Absolutely. The other thing for the year out that I had, the year working as a mum, was networking. I met so many different people that I hadn't met before. I was talking to women at the school gates. I was talking to women that were looking to get back to work. And I think that was another light bulb moment when I realised, hey, there's so many skilled women here that are saying to me, I'm just a mum, when in fact they've got so many skills.
As a result of that experience, Jane, you decided that your next move was going to be to set up your business, and it was going to be precisely in that area. Tell us about your current business now.
So my current business supports mums back to work. We do help dads sometimes and we do help carers, but mainly it's mums. And we provide the mums with career advice, with confidence to get back into the workplace.
And how long have you been running that business?
I've been running my business for 3 years now.
Okay. And so tell us, what a typical week consists of running a business. It's very different from being employed, isn't it?
Very different. You are the boss. You are responsible. But my typical week would be planning and prioritising with my team about what we do need to do. We'd be looking at the news to see if there's any changes in employment, what job opportunities are around. We would be deciding what we want to do and making actions and then reviewing these actions. And I'd be supporting my team as well. It's interesting. I'm at this point, I'm really pulling on all my experience for my jobs. When I worked for the training company, when I worked for the government agency and the college, I'm pulling on all that experience.
And, what's the sort of infrastructure in terms of how you work?
So in terms of how the business works, with technology, we don't have to be in an office. We don't have to have bums on seats. Because of technology, we're able to work flexibly, which, as you can imagine, works really well for mums that might want to do the school run or do the sports day. So the technology has given us the flexibility to work remotely, work at home.
And what that also means is that you've been able to sort of set that business up without having to invest too heavily. Because very often, when people want to set up a business, they're prohibited because they think they're going to have to spend so much money to set it up. Yeah. Did you find that?
Absolutely. That was one of the things that really scared me. It would be the cost of having an office, the running of an office, as you can imagine. Even if it's the photocopier, the phone bill, the parking. But the flexible working is just such a saving on cost. It just makes business sense.
And what sort of hours do you work?
I probably work about 50 hours a week. Right. As a business owner, I don't think you really switch off, particularly in the first 2 or 3 years. It is hard work, but it does have lots of benefits.
And talking about sort of the benefits, what's the best things about having your own business?
Well, for me, having my own business gives me the flexibility around my children. It also gives me the opportunity to create opportunities, knock on people's doors and say, hey, look, let's make this happen. Here's a problem. We can make the solution and actually make things happen without having to be told what to do.
Mm. And what about some of the challenges? I'm sure there must be challenges as well.
Oh, there's lots of challenges. I'm a human being, so there's the self-doubts. There's the waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, concerned about the cash flow, making sure your team are happy, making sure they're carrying out the work that they should be doing. So there are lots of challenges, but I think it's around getting through those challenges and also learning from your mistakes. We are human and people make mistakes. In fact, if you don't make mistakes and you're listening to this, you must be a robot.
And I think as well, when you've got that entrepreneurial mindset, you have to be prepared to take some risks. And when you're taking risks, you are going to make some mistakes and you're going to have some failures. But that's really, it's again about perspective. It doesn't actually matter if you fail, so long as you continue to try.
Absolutely, I totally agree.
I'm sure that this has been really inspirational for some of the people listening, or many of the people listening. So those who now are really keen to follow in your footsteps, Jane, what sorts of tips and hints would you give them to get started?
Okay, I would find somebody that you admire, find somebody that you would like to do either a job like they do or own a business like they own, and talk to them. Even if you don't know the person, you could always contact them to find out what did their career path look like. when I left school and I wanted that first car, I didn't really think that I would be a business owner. And when I started my apprenticeship, it didn't occur to me that one day I could own a business. And I think those small steps, if I had known somebody else who'd taken that same career path, it would have really helped. I've managed to get there on my own, but I think if I was given advice, it would be find somebody you admire, who you want to be like, and find out their story. But when you hit 18, I think you can find a mentor, whether it's somebody you know, whether it's a family friend, or it's somebody you've read about, or maybe that if you look on websites, there's certain websites. MentorMe.org is a website where you can find mentors. I think having somebody to support you is really important. Tell people about your goals. Tell people what you want to achieve. And also, don't be afraid. Angela mentioned it earlier. Don't be afraid to fail, because that's how you can learn. Yeah. I know that Richard Branson talks about he encourages his team to fail, because it's one way they will learn quicker, which is a really sort of interesting idea. I think breaking goals down into really small steps of progress, otherwise it can feel absolutely overwhelming. So just small steps of progress and get started. Mm. Often people can put things off and put them off, but it's about getting started today. Something else that I would really recommend is positive self-talk. It's that little voice in your head that might be telling you, you can't do this, you can't do it. Well, flip it, turn it around to saying, I can do it, I can do it. Because it's really important that you talk to yourself positively. And when you talk to other people, you talk about yourself in a positive light as well. Interestingly, I started running, probably I was about 25. And I can remember when I achieved running a mile without stopping, I was so thrilled. And somebody said to me, now you've run a mile, Jane, you'll be doing the marathon next. And I immediately said, oh, I couldn't run a marathon. And then I stopped and I thought, why can't I run a marathon? Thousands and thousands of people run a marathon every year. Why are they different to me? And that kickstarted me to thinking, hey, what else can I do? So I trained for the marathon, and I did run the marathon, and I raised lots of money for charity. And I think what that did, it spurred me on to think, what other things could I do that other people do, and just follow their path, small steps. My final tip, and probably the most important, is don't try and be perfect. Just be the best version of you, because that's all you can be. And it's about making the most of your life.
What's your advice with regard to the best time to set up a business? Would you say to work first, or do you think that people can launch themselves straight into becoming a business owner?
I think if you want to turn an existing hobby into a business, then I would continue that hobby, but I would also find work that was relevant to that hobby or relevant to your business idea. So if you did want to become the owner of an estate agent, for example, then get a job in an estate agent, learn, find out as much as you can, find out the person that owns that business, what did they do, how did they learn? And I would suggest at least 7 or 8 years of work under your belt before you make the jump from employment to being a business owner. Or in some cases, I know that I've got friends that have actually worked part-time while they've set up their business, just to secure that they've still got some income coming in.
Perfect. Jane, I think that has been fascinating, and I'm sure that that's inspired lots of our listeners. If they actually want to apply for that apprenticeship opportunity that you mentioned, or indeed, you know, they just want to sort of speak to you or find out more about what you do, you know, your business is called Successful Mums, and maybe members of their family even may be able to benefit from your services. Where's the best place they can find you?
They can contact me on my Instagram at Successful Mums.
So, Jane, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure listening to your journey, and I'm sure that it's the same for those listening.
Thanks. Thank you. Thanks.